Watch it. Always bracing. There we go. And go hard. And go hard.
Peddler's Pod with Sam and Megan.
Not over the hill just yet. The Australian is back on top of the uncomfortably long-distance ocean paddling world after another classic battle with Hank McGregor, leading us all to wonder, when are the kids arriving on the scene? Gemma Smith smokes the admittedly small women's field at the Molokai Challenge. It's back after its COVID break, but for how much longer? Peace reigns in Australia. Paddle Australia and the Australian Ocean Racing Series plot a new path forward together. What does this mean for the sport down under? And do you have to become a Paddle Australia member to race here? Plus, there's big name moves being made between teams on the racing scene as the Paddlers Pod finally returns for 2023. Hello and welcome back, dear listeners. My name is Sam Jordan. And although I don't really feel like it this year, I am a host of the Paddlers Pod, as always, joined on the line by Mackenzie Heinard. Macca, how does it feel?
Man, it has been a long time coming. I think we're on 6 months now. We did one just after the 20 Beaches, and I think that was the last time I raced, and it feels like an eternity ago. Look, I'm so stoked to be back. Talk about paddling. I had a bit of a hiatus, and you even longer. So I guess we got to apologize, because I know we've been getting hit up by a lot of people to record this podcast. So first and foremost, apologies to the listeners.
I'm not sorry for shit. I'm not sorry for a thing.
I was trying to take the political side.
Let's get this out of the way early. It is a lot later than we did intend for us to be back recording
and
this podcast.
And told everyone.
It is a combination of a number of things. Look, admittedly, it was me dragging the chain for the most part. I had some things in my personal life that I needed to spend a little bit more time on rather than making the time to chat about paddling, which I guess probably worked out well because I haven't really paddled this year anyway. So then maybe I didn't have that much to talk about, but
we both haven't.
I'm doing great. Macca, you're doing great. We've had a lot going on professionally as well. In fact, we are recording this podcast when I should be packing my bags because I'm about to be going to the United Kingdom for 3 months tomorrow. So look, I'm not saying you should feel lucky, but I think we should all appreciate the fact that we are doing this. We've also had plenty of other things going on too, Macca. I made a TV show in that time. If you haven't seen it yet, that's on YouTube now. The whole world can watch that. That was an interesting experience. And you know what, Macca? Oh, we both raced the clubbies this season.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we went to Perth. We did that. I had a lot of work on. It just feels like an eternity's gone by.
That's right. And you know what? We've been doing plenty of partying along the way as well. But now
I've got a couple of kilos heavier.
That has come to an end because we are back for the new year. Wow. A lot changes, Macca. A lot changes in the time since we last recorded the podcast, not just in life, but in paddling as well. But some things remain the same. We are going to be chatting about the Molokai Challenge, the Shaw and Partners Molokai Challenge too. We can't forget that. They've added another race to their collection, Shaw and Partners. That has just gone down in Hawaii. And although the conditions weren't all-time, it did serve up some all-time battles. We do have some exciting news for you to be chatting about too, Macca. That's going to be getting into our power plays.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I look forward to that. But let's not tease it. We've been teasers for too long. We may as well jump straight into bed with our listeners and crack into our power plays.
The Peddler's Pod. Power plays.
Which this episode are brought to you by the 2023 ICF Ocean Racing World Championships to be held here in Australia at the end of November, a week after the Shaw and Partners WA Race Week. That is going to be happening because, Macca, you've got no choice. You're involved in the organising committee. You need to give the people a race.
I think we both are. So, yeah, we're not hiding there. It's going to be a really exciting time and I'm really pumped about it.
We're going to be chatting more about that a little bit later. But for now, let's get into
number three.
Macca, do you want to break your own news on this podcast? Because there has been a big change in your life, a big change for the paddling scene as well, Mac.
It certainly has. Yeah, look, I made a personal decision about a month ago, and then I went on holidays, so I guess the decision or the announcement got pushed back a little bit. But I made a personal decision nonetheless to leave a longtime sponsor of mine, Think Kayaks, and head across to Nordic. There was no bad blood in the water or anything like that. I just, you know, needed a bit of a change. Not to say I didn't love the boat. I think Think's are awesome. I just needed a bit of a change to reignite a spark. I think I never gave myself credit for how much it took out of me coming back to that high-end racing after having so much time off. And I really struggled at the end of last year and moving into this year. I needed a bit of fire in the belly. And look, I'm excited to join the Nordic team. It certainly has been on the up over recent years, and they're really, you know, passionate about racing and all things competing, which is my first and foremost goal. And I think they're probably going to be the company that, if I can say my goals out loud, would be the company that are going to help me succeed in winning a world title later in the year. Yeah, look, I put out a big social media post and whatnot. That probably allows me to contextualize it better because it took me about a month to write it to make sure I got out what I wanted to say. So if you, maybe I'm not explaining myself all that well. It's been a long time between drinks on this podcast for both of us. But
I think you're doing a good job. I think you're just starting to go in circles. That's all.
Oh, okay. Well, I appreciate that, Sam, but it's a way to drown it out for me.
Well, I think you've spoken very well, Macca. And look, this is the benefit of having your own podcast as well, is that you can just get on here and say whatever you want and also add value to the sponsorship now that Nordic Kayaks has with you on board. This can become a 50% Nordic Kayak zone. I'm willing to do that because obviously Epic Kayaks, let's not forget about Epic, they're making fantastic boats as well. But Mac, this was a big change for you now that you've done it. And I believe you have your first race tomorrow on your Nordic Kite. How does it feel now that it's all kind of out there and to make a big change like that? Because you've been on Think since, we were teenagers.
2014, yeah. I got an amazing offer way back when. And it seems like, yeah, it was honestly one of the best experiences of my life. I got to travel the world with some of the people I call my best friends on a team sort of before racing teams were a thing. And that was amazing, and I'll appreciate that forever. And it really, it did, like, I remember sending the email out to the people that were closest to me and had made the journey possible. And I hovered for ages. I actually made my girlfriend, Skye, send it. I couldn't press the button because I was like, sort of actually going to happen. This is a change. It's not like it wasn't unhappy or anything. I knew deep down that I needed a change, and I am really happy with the decision I've made. The boats are excellent. They're super light. I've put on some kegs. Instead of losing the kegs, I've just opted for a lighter boat to make it easier. But it's, it's really exciting. And I definitely have that fire back in my belly and a bit of a point to prove. I've chosen a race that's Nordic Kayaks are actually the naming right sponsor of this race on the Sunshine Coast happening tomorrow. So by the time you listen to this, it could have all gone pear-shaped and the pressure might have got to me and I might not have the result I'm after. But look, pressure's a privilege and I'm excited to have the opportunity to test myself and prove myself again to a new company.
Breakups are hard, aren't they, Macca?
They are.
And Macca, you're not the only person to make the switch since we last recorded a podcast episode. Mark Keeling, he got second at the Doctor last year in Perth, Western Australia, the biggest result of his career. And gee, he cashed in on it. I shouldn't say cash. That's not what I'm referring to. But he made the most of that result.
Yes,
he now paddles for Epic Kayaks
alongside
one of the great paddlers in Sam Jordan. He's actually paddling at the moment and also being at races. But yeah, big move for Mark as well. You know, he's been with Fenn for a very long time, and there's not many paddlers in South. I was going to say there's not many paddlers in South Africa who don't paddle a Fenn, but there isn't. No paddlers in South Africa who don't paddle a Fenn. You know, really, Davey Brand and Mark Keeling are both there in that beautiful nation now as well, getting around. So Mark having his first race at Molokai, I'm sure we'll mention his name a little bit later on. But yeah, there are some moves being made, a little bit like last season too. We had some moves at the end of last season too. Danielle McKenzie going to Epic. So there is plenty going on. And Mark, isn't it good? Isn't it good to be chatting about racing again like that?
I love it. I do want to call you up. There is Jasper Mocker that does paddle Epic, South African.
Oh, I'm going to delete all that.
No, you're going to have to. You're definitely going to have to fall on your sword there. Yaps. Oh,
yeah, that's right. I was only on the phone to Jasper the other night too, actually. What a great man. What a great man. But you know what?
You can tell it's been a while.
As you will be able to hear in an article that I believe now will be on the paddler.news, because if you're listening to this, I've just finished a 24-hour flight to the United Kingdom and I'm planning on writing a few articles during that time.
Jasper says
he doesn't even classify himself as a paddler anymore, an athlete. You know, he's just out there to race and have fun and help the next generation. So, yeah, it is a big coup for Epic to have Mark Keeling on board. Now, there's no shortage of people paddling fens, that's for sure. I think the more diversity we get in the sport, the better in terms of boats and athletes and the like. And Mackie, you've now got the opportunity to learn off maybe the most handsome man in the paddling world in the form of Gordon Harbrecht. So
I'm very much looking
forward to it. Maybe you can get
it.
Some tips on trying to put on a little bit of size as well. Not that you need it, but fuck, you're a long way off him.
Yeah, I was going to say a bit of height, but I think there might be some surgery involved in that.
Oh, dear. So already an exciting start to 23 on the racing scene, and that's before we even get stuck into what else has been happening.
Number two.
That was a bit of a tease. I was going to go into Molokai next, but no, we're not. We're actually talking about the new partnership in Australia between Paddle Australia, that is the national federation that looks after all paddle sports, and the Australian Ocean Racing Series, that is Dean Gardner's series. And it includes big events such as the Doctor, the Shore and Partners WA Race Week, and also 20 Beaches. Now, there has been partnerships in the past, but over the years, the two entities did stray from each other. I guess I shouldn't really say they strayed from each other, really. It was Paddle Australia that kind of took a step away from being associated with Dean. Dean's series has always kind of been running its own course, but this is a deal now that makes a lot of sense. So for a little while there, under a previous committee, Paddle Australia was trying to run its own national championships. It was also trying to perhaps form partnership, or they did form partnership with the Australian Outrigging Association of Australia as well, AOCRA. But none of these things really made a lot of sense in the downwind paddling world. That's my opinion. I think it's everyone's opinion, but that is my opinion that I'm putting on there. But there has been some changes at Paddle Australia, not just in its ocean racing committee, but also at a board level, at a management level as well. And it is promising for the sport now to have one united push in the same direction. Mackie, you are associated with Paddle Australia. You sit on its technical committee. You also sit on its ocean racing committee. Although you weren't the one that, you know, signed off on this deal and made it happen, no doubt. Well, actually, I'm assuming. I should have probably asked you before I even said this. No doubt, you know, you think it's a great thing for the sport down under.
Yeah, look, I think it's amazing. I probably did have a little bit to do with it, or threading the needle, for lack of a better phrase, in trying to make everyone come on board, because I do believe that a united front is where we should be. And both entities do have, you know, the interests of ocean paddling at heart, and they want to see it succeed. And yes, they may have been different and swayed in the past. And I know there was so many talks of this happening in previous years, even previous decades, and it's always fallen short. And it's really cool to see it actually go through and actually happen. I think it's an amazing thing for the sport. No doubt that it, you know, there's always challenges that are met with change that happens. I'm not going to sit here and say that it's the perfect solution. I understand that it's not, and some people might be upset with it, but I think together and collectively we can work together to make something of it and something better for paddling, not just for the top paddlers, but for the general participation and everyone wanting to become involved.
Look, let's talk nuts and bolts, because I actually didn't even think to do any preparation and really just clarify what is involved in this partnership. But in short, and please pull me up if I'm wrong, it means that now for Australian racing, Australian team selections and national championships for Paddle Australia, it's based off the overall Australian Ocean Racing Series. In terms of going the other way, Paddle Australia will provide support where possible to the Australian Ocean Racing Series in helping run events or try and get promotion and publicity. It's not a cash deal. There's no cash involved. Nothing's changing hands there. But probably most importantly, it's a symbolic partnership to show people that things are moving in the same direction. Now, for Dean, I guess, you know, there wasn't hesitancy as such, but God, he could be forgiven for having it given the way that, you know, previous arrangements have just been thrown in the bin where there's been a changing of the guard at management level or at a volunteer board level as well. So it's just everyone being a happy family. And the sport's not big enough here in Australia for it to be anything else. You know, you mentioned some of the figures that are involved now, like James Tompkins has a pretty integral role now at Paddle Australia in terms of the surf ski scene. Yes, that is James Tompkins, who was a rower, Australia's most successful rower. Fuck, he'd be pretty close to Australia's most successful Olympian too, right?
Yeah.
No, all the swimmers. No, it's all the... Well, it depends on how you measure it.
Yeah, after Emma.
Yeah, that's right. And he saw the light and now faces forward when he gets on the water. He's not a rower anymore. But people like that who have been involved and still are involved with the International Olympic Committee at a board level there as well. I know he still sits on two of those boards too.
Yes.
God, I should be doing my research. I'm sorry, listeners. That's all right. This is supposed to be our big reunion today. But my point is that it now adds some more knowledge and it adds a little bit of experience to the sport that otherwise wasn't there. So does anything change on a ground level? At the moment, no. Well, listeners, Mackenzie and I in the real world have just been talking for an extra 5 minutes than what you are hearing right now, but there were some things actually about this arrangement that I didn't actually know. So to go back a little bit when I spoke about what did they get out of this arrangement, well, I guess unsurprisingly now, the Australian Ocean Racing Series, I think I can say all this, the Australian Ocean Racing Series is covered by Paddle Australia's insurance. This already happens at events in Western Australia. So if you did the West Coast downwind last year, you would notice that you had to pay, I think it was $10, the levy, if you weren't a PA or WA paddle WA member, you had to pay that extra $10 levy. That will now exist at Australian Ocean Racing Series events, I believe. Gee, I don't want to get this wrong, Mark. Is this right?
No, that's correct. It came into effect after the Foster Race Week. So
gotcha.
For the Foster Race Week, it didn't happen, but after July 1, that will be the new protocol.
Well, I guess that's a pretty big one. What does everyone get out of it? Now Dean's under Paddle Australia's insurance, and Paddle Australia, logically, we'll get a few more members as well because it actually makes more sense financially to become a member rather than just continue to pay the levy. All right, well, I don't want to take away from the goodwill of that, but I guess there is a little bit more that makes sense in that situation.
Yeah, so I think the on-day member is not a Paddle Australia member. You're just an on-day member.
No, but it covers the insurance,
yeah. And you are then treated like a member for that day. But for anyone wishing to feature in the Paddle Australia sanctioned Australian Championships, which will be determined by the Australian Ocean Racing Series, you would need to be a member, a financial member of Paddle Australia.
Okay. I hope you're following that, dear listener, because I've started to zone out. Thank you very much, though, for that clarification, Macca. Look, overall, good signs for paddling in Australia because people are now moving in the same direction. That can only be a positive thing for the growth of the sport. And not that this news isn't exciting, but let's chat about something exciting. Let's chat about racing because the Molokai Challenge was finally back.
Number one.
The most special hidden hurdles behind Corey Hill's third Molokai title. You can read this article if you haven't already on the paddler.news. It got a lot of traction because I think a lot of people were really pleased for Corey Hill to win the Shoreham Partners Molokai Challenge. That is his third victory at the event. It pushes him up the leaderboard of the all-time greats, getting closer towards some of those guys with the most wins. But he had to do it the hard way. The Australian flying into Hawaii the day before the race after choosing to go to his friend's wedding and miss out on the Shoreham Partners Race 1 race team extravaganza that no doubt you would have seen because it was pretty hard to avoid on social media at the 5-star Halekulani Hotel. All expenses paid. Gee, what a trip, Macca. You and I did not get invited. We did get invited last year, though, but unfortunately, we didn't get to
didn't
go.
Get the, didn't get the call back.
He has won 3 titles now, Corey, and he says this one is his most special. We'll get into some of those reasons why in just a moment, but it was Corey Hill who beat Hank McGregor across the line. Josh Fenn coming through for third place in what was actually a really close battle towards the end there between the rest of the field for that top 3 podium place. Uli Hart was in pole position for a little while there. He finished a minute further back in 4th. We then had Tommy Norton, Kenny Rice. God, Michael Booth was getting around there as well. I didn't say them in the right order because for some reasons these results are not laid out properly on the website. I'm having to try and calculate the times as I go. Let me go again. Fourth place, Uli Hart. No, fourth so place, Michael Boothy. Boothy charges home. Sorry, Boothy. Michael Booth charges home into fourth place. Uli Hart in fifth. Then it was Tom Norton in sixth. Kenny Rice in seventh. I think we then might have a Clint Robinson. Oh, it's too hard. If you want to see the results, get online and have a look yourself.
Either way,
for the most part, it was a race in two. Macca, let's start with your thoughts on Corey claiming victory.
One word, surprised.
Puh!
Yeah, look, I think he's an exceptional paddler, like one of my best mates, the whole thing, you train together all the time, but I mean, it's probably wasn't his conditions. They weren't favoring him. Yes, he may have done everything right, but like leaving it all the way till the last minute. I was with him. We're at the same wedding. We sat next to each other. I dropped into the airport the morning he left. And
how many beers or?
He had none. Zero.
Oh, wow.
Well, I was super impressed with as well. I was probably more impressed with that than him.
And how many did you have?
Enough to make up for two people.
Enough for both of you, all right.
But look, I'm very, very happy for him. And I think I'm more surprised at the deficit that he was able to put into someone put into Hank, obviously, who's an incredible paddler in his own right, and especially in those conditions. I think that's what I was more impressed with, that he just put everyone to the sword. He had a game plan. He said in the article how he was just testing people out along the way. Like, who does that?
Yeah.
10K in. Like, super impressive. More than anything, I was surprised, but I was also super impressed.
Yeah, let's go back a little bit further. So, as it is laid out in the article, Corey's best man was the best man at Corey's wedding, was getting married on this day. Let's give him a shout out. Mm-hmm. Cal Booth. Congratulations, Cal. Great friend of the podcast. But for Corey, it did make that decision quite difficult in terms of, am I going to be at my mate's wedding or am I going to go to Hawaii and have the preparation at the Halekulani Hotel and have some of that coconut cake and maybe even a few cocktails throughout the week and spend that time with his family and also preparing being in Hawaii. But for Corey, he said it was a no-brainer. The quote was, as much as I've gained a lot from the sport, I've also missed out on a lot, events with friends and weekends away. I don't want to make it sound like a difficult decision because I came to terms with the whole flying in the day before the race 4 or 5 months ago. For me, it was done. I actually spoke to him a couple of days before he flew out because his family did go a week earlier. They had a bit of a family trip, enjoying it over there. Now, three kids, three boys enjoying the Hawaiian sun, and Lani left to do all of the hard work as well, along with Corey's parents. So they made a week of it where Corey was still at home, and I did kind of get the thought that that might have been the best thing for him because
yeah,
it can be a big week over there, particularly with the race team at a time when there's so many shoots going on and, you know, they've got their own race one scene that's kind of unfolding. It's a lot of engagements, a lot of requirements for them to kind of do their thing, whereas Corey was just in his own little world, crunching some numbers, tapping away on his keyboard, you know, running through the finances of whoever he's looking after. Maybe it's for the paddler, you know, who knows what he was up to that week. But I think it was a great thing. It made a difference. It was a bit of a siege mentality for him. He didn't want to admit that to me. Maybe he doesn't even feel that way, but that's how I feel about it, that he could go over there with a point to prove to the world, particularly after what he labels a disappointing result at the doctor, coming fourth last year. And he did it. So you did kind of mention it there a little bit, Macca. It was a relatively patient start to the race. A few people put down pace at times, but Corey said he was quite comfortable until about 35 kilometers in when he and Hank McGregor came side by side. He said they were 1 meter apart. No words were exchanged. I did ask him about that, but Corey knew that was the moment that the race was really starting.
That's starting, yeah.
In fact, I was about to read out his quote, but he actually said that was the moment the race started. So I guess I can't really do that. But I thought what was incredible, and I was seeing these video updates unfold from Corey's support boat. Thankfully, Lani, she's pretty much a member of the paddler team, giving me information like that. But Corey did stretch out a gap.
Massive.
And like you mentioned, Macca, if you were going to suggest on how this race would be won for Corey ahead of time, I don't know if you would have thought it was like that.
Nah, not at all. I mean, I think there was a 2 minute buffer at a point there, which is like, to be able to, like, it's 35K in, you know, and Hank's used to doing that all the time, right? It's not like unbeknownst or unfamiliar territory to him. And yeah, so I mean, it shows the work that Corey had put in to get to that point. I know he'd done a lot of work and I wasn't there to do it because I was on holidays, but he had done a lot of work and really wanted that title. I think everyone, the last time it was run, was in, you know, record-breaking conditions. And I guess you always have that in the back of your mind that you're going to be going over and getting runs. But, you know, reality, and go back in time and look at the records and the data set, it's actually not the case. It's most often flat, and it's hard.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. In fact, Corey actually did reflect on the fact that he did it in the flat. He said, you know, to have won it in those conditions, yeah, it was emotional. He said, I'm really proud of the product I put forward. There wasn't many weekends or weekdays without intent behind my sessions. He says it's the most special of the victories because of the fact that he did fly in the day before. If you read the article, there's also a whole drama at the airport when he couldn't get to Molokai as well that he overcame. And he did also acknowledge the fact that it had been a long time since he didn't hold a title. Since 2015, and we did the maths on this, since 2015, he either was the doctor champion, the world champion, or the Molokai champion. If not, two, and I think at 1.3 at a time, he didn't have that. So the fact for him to have won it the way he did, he draws a lot of confidence out of that. Mac, an interesting one for me that we can't ignore is the fact that once again, it was Hank and Corey just going blow for blow. Hank, how old's Hank now? Like 50...
44?
Like, I'm joking, Hank. I'm joking about saying you're 50. But you know
he's
what?
Coming for, he's coming for
it
you.
It is remarkable that Hank continues to perform at the standard that he does when he is a little bit older. I know that age doesn't necessarily factor into it, but even Corey made a point of saying he went through... Actually, Corey went through every year of the last 10 races, and it was either... They were pretty... I think there was 1 year, 2014, Hank was first and Corey was third, and every year since then, they've either been first and second or second and third, which... He's just, well, I guess for 16 when he hit the rocks, but he did acknowledge that he was in front at that point. I know Sean Rice won in 2017, and but then it was Hank and him. So, yeah, incredible that Hank continues to not slow down. We did come into this thinking we would see the arrival of the next generation. Uli Hart blew them away at the Cape Point Challenge last year, but it was a fair gap from Hank back to Josh Fenn in third, and Josh finished really strongly. So... You've got to be patient, young boys. The old dogs have still got a little bit of time in them. And I say dogs, they've got that dog in them, both of them. That is just very impressive stuff.
Yeah.
Macca, let's chat about the women's race. Look, not the closest battle in terms of the depth of field. Three incredibly talented and passionate Australian paddlers, Gemma Smith, Sasha Torrens, and Ellie Saffron, took on the Molokai crossing. Gemma Smith getting the win in a time of 4 hours and 4 minutes. Sasha Torrens, 4 hours and 18. That's a really impressive paddle from Sash. She's really putting in the work here in Australia. She's getting better with every race, and she's really passionate about it as well. So I think that's an awesome performance from her. And Ellie, a little bit further back too, to finish that race is nothing short of unbelievable, regardless of what the conditions like, and they were tough conditions. Look, there is a few interesting points for us to reflect on about this year's Molokai Challenge when you have a look at the results as well, because there were some outrigging crews that were involved, and that's outstanding. We always love to see plenty of craft at these races. There was a couple of OC6 crews, a couple of OC2 crews. If you take those crews away, the vast majority of the people racing at the Molokai Challenge this year were funded to be there by Shaw and Partners in Race 1, which is incredible because it's Shaw and Partners' generosity and passion for the sport that actually means this race can run. If Shaw and Partners wasn't there to step in, the most iconic race in our sport would not have gone ahead. I remember Jim Foti saying to me that a couple of years ago when they had to cancel because they weren't able to get things sorted with the locals in time or not. It is pretty worrying when the numbers of people who have to pay their own way to get there are so low. We mentioned the women's field there. All three of those women were brought across by Shaw and Partners in Race 1. The vast majority of the elite men were. I think if you were to go through the list and find the first person who wasn't, I think it's... Well, Mark Keeling was obviously supported by Epic to be there. Davey Brand was in the race. Josh Trevathan from Perth was over there and did extremely well too. Did really well, Josh. Brendan Rice was in there. Clint Robinson was there, but he also held some coaching clinics the weeks after. There wasn't many people that weren't paid to be there. If we want to continue to have the Molokai Challenge, I don't know what the answer is. For me, and I'm interested to hear your thoughts. You've done it a few times. For me, I'd love to do the race. Look, I'm in a lucky position where Well, when I used to paddle, I guess Epic would help me get around a bit, but I don't know if I was funding it myself fully. Ooh, I don't expensive. Know if I'll go. It's too expensive. It's way too expensive. And I think they did do something this year, like you didn't have to have a support boat in order to make the crossing, but you had to paddle in a life jacket. And I think your entry might have been $500 US more expensive. Please don't quote me on that number. I guess I'm saying it on a podcast, but that's what some of the boys who raced told me this year. So I don't know what the answer is, but it's simply too expensive. And I guess it's never been a race where a lot of people have gone and done it.
Yeah.
You know, just on that, Macca, what are your thoughts on that? How can we continue to ensure that this race continues to go ahead year on year? Because Shaw and Partners support might not be there forever.
Taking a step back and noting that there's actually three separate and different Molokai challenges, there could be a little bit more collaboration around it because they seem to be run, you know, the board race and the SUP, if it's run then, are actually run in a much better time when they can almost guarantee wind. It's right in the heart of the, you know, the trade wind season. Yet the SUP, the Ocean Ski and the Outrigger seem to always be on the fringe and they're 2 weeks apart and there's people doing one or the other. And look, I just think there's a little bit more that could be collaborated there. I don't know. There's probably some egos that want their event and they would be hard to take a step back in that regard. But I think for everyone, that could be an option. I also think with events like this, I think of long distance events, I reckon there's probably a space for relays 1 year and individuals the next, because it gives people that 2 year cycle to save up, get enough leave, train for it. Or they might go, you know what, I'd rather do it in a team, and everyone's going to do it in a team in that time. And you can actually create something more about it. There now becomes a new record. You know, you have to use the same boat. I think we might have to think outside the box on how we can make this event not just last, but actually grow again.
That is whack. And I love it. I love you to say it.
I can never take off my event manager cap anymore. So that's what I would do.
I think at the end of the day, we all want to see this race not just survive, but we want to see it thrive.
Yeah.
It is the most revered surf ski race in the world. However, it is one of the smallest. And look, I guess it always has been like that. Corey and I actually had a bit of a reflection afterwards about exactly that. It's the question we like asking him, Macca, what would you rather win, a Doctor of Worlds or a Molokai? And he always just laughs and says, well, I've won all three. But I did ask him again. He said that Molokai has a really special place for him. Even though it might not have the depth of a world championship, I guess it has the history behind it, which is a really good point. So yeah, it's an interesting time for the Molokai Challenge. As long as Shaw and Partners are able to sponsor it, I think it's going to continue to be around and it's continued to going to be a great event, a great getaway for a lot of people. Again, first year back after 3 years due to COVID issues. So maybe people sitting at home are going to watch on and go, yeah, I want to be involved in that next year. And we hope they do because, yeah, one of the great events and a great way to really kind of kick things off on the international racing season for 2023, Macca.
And we have started. Well, we're a long way through, actually. It's just...
The year only starts. Now, fuck, has it even been that long? 6 months? That's pretty generous, isn't it? Like, we can have that time off. Look, and things are only going to continue to heat up as we get across the year, not just towards the Shaw and Partners WA Race Week, but also the ICF Ocean Racing World Championships, which we're going to talk about right now. A new sponsor of the podcast.
How good.
Easy Ocean Racing World Championships. Is it low-level corruption for Macca to be the host of a podcast and then the organization that he's helping to fund... the organization that he's helping to pull this race together, do sponsor our podcast. They asked me about some communications ideas and yeah, I said sponsor the podcast. So look, either way, they are a valued sponsor of the podcast this year. And Mac, it is going to be a huge world titles because for the first time ever, you can in the one trip race what is the richest week of racing in the world, the Shaw and Partners WA Race Week. You can come to Australia for that and race the world championships a week later. Let's go aside from the event management position for just one moment. How are you feeling as an athlete knowing that you only have to peak at one time in what is going to be this incredible festival and celebration of paddling?
Relieved and also nervous about it, because it's a long period of time to be at your best. And I think there's going to be down days, and a lot of that's going to come into like mental resolve. And I think, yeah, look, I don't know. I'm nervous because if I have a bad race, it takes a lot to get back up. And you've seen it happen in the race week over the past couple of years.
Last year.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah, rub it in. Happened to me. It's happened to everyone. Happened to the best of us. And yeah, so I guess you really have to be ready to go from the word go. And God, you're going to have some mental resolve if things don't pay out, because there's a lot of racing in a short space of time.
So entries for the World Championships are now open, but mm-hmm. don't stress if you haven't booked a trip, because admittedly, I don't even know what I'm doing. In fact, I'm getting on a plane tomorrow. I don't really know what's going on. It's not too late for you to get involved, because the very kind crew that is organizing this event, and I say that, but I don't just mean Mackenzie. There's a whole team of really experienced people.
Yeah, much better people
in
than
pulling
me.
In pulling this together, they have ways to be able to help you. And I'm not just talking about accommodation packages. I'm not just talking about helping with boat rentals and the like, but also giving you a greater understanding of what is going to be happening. Because, Macca, this is the first time Australia has hosted the World Championships. Now, is Australia the home of downwind paddling in the world? I don't know. There's no South African here to tell us there's not. So maybe we...
Oscar will probably come over with a voiceover.
Now, that's a big call.
Well, we have heard him throughout this episode, but where is he to tell us he's wrong now? So this is a really big one for Australia. And Mac, Paddle Australia, which is, again, the national federation here down under, they're taking this quite seriously as well, which is a big shift in the sport down under.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, we've seen it, the partnership with the Shore and Partners Australian Ocean Racing Series, leading straight into the World Championships. They want to make a legacy. They want to, you know, leave a legacy, I should say. But it's not, they're not stepping away from it. This is just the beginning. Super exciting. There's some really cool things planned. We really want to set a new bar, I believe, for how a world championship should be run. And, you know, we're not going to let anything or anyone tell us otherwise.
So we're going to be having pretty regular updates, I would think, just by virtue of both being somewhat involved on the podcast over the next few months as mm-hmm. things start to ramp up. But take this as gospel. You want to be here. You want to be here for it.
Yeah, I wouldn't miss it.
Because although Portugal said it in 2013, and then they said it again in 2022, you can guarantee downwind.
Yeah.
In fact, I would think it has the potential to be the best world championships in terms of conditions alone. Like, okay, the organization of it is something that is being worked towards. But conditions alone, it's pretty hard to beat that Western Australian wind at that time of year. The doctor itself. So it's going to be an incredible 2 weeks of racing. It's probably never going to happen again in our lifetime, I would think. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to race both the Shore and Partners WA Race Week and the ICF World Championships on the one trip, and you will not want to miss out. If you want more details, jump online. It's on social media. There's also a website now set up, and you can get in touch and start planning your trip to Perth in November. And that's it. Just like that.
It's over. What a whirlwind.
If I knew it was going to be this easy, we probably just would have done one a little bit earlier. But part of the reason that we did delay this is because we wanted to launch it properly this year.
We wanted to be better.
We do have new... Can you tell we've got new microphones? They sound a lot better. We've got new microphones. We do have beautiful high-definition cameras that are sitting in front of us. But unfortunately, Macca, with me having a couple of hours to go before I leave the country, we actually just couldn't get them to work. So we thought, let's just get something out. Now, there are new segments as well. We did speak to you about Talkback Radio, I would think, but by the time this now goes online, there is something out there that we are asking you to respond to. This segment is going to rely on your input. Now, Macca, the first topic of conversation that we want story time to be about is sharks. If you have a shark story, whether you were attacked by one, whether you attacked one, whether you saw one, whether you rode one, whether you ate one, it doesn't matter. We want to hear a story on your paddling journey to do with sharks. the way to send us that video and get in touch, and when I say video, we just want you filming it on your phone. Film it on your phone, send us a message, whatever. It's on our Instagram at the moment and our Facebook page. So follow those details to get in touch. And there are going to be prizes for the winning story as well.
Really?
Yeah, no, prizes? There actually are. No, there actually are.
Yeah.
Thanks to some of our incredible sponsors and supporters of this podcast. They love the idea. They want to be rewarding people for getting involved. So that is what
I'm putting in an anonymous one.
We want you to also send us a message. It can be a DM, it can be an email, whoever you want, about a question for Coach's Corner as well. If there's something about paddling you want answered, please fire it our way, because if you don't, then we won't have anything to talk about on the podcast. And that's important.
Sam,
that we
I'll just
do.
Ramble.
It's important that we do have something to talk about. You might have noticed as well that at the start, the music's a little bit different. We've turned things up a little bit on the music. And you know what? Is it a reflection of where my head's been at for the last three months?
Definitely.
Probably it is. Probably it is. Because we are firing things up here on the Paddlers Pod for 2023. So, Macca, we will be doing podcasts while I'm away. I'm going to take the camera. I'm going to take the microphone overseas. We are going to keep this ball rolling now that it has started. Dear listeners, Surf Ski Paddlers, we are back for the new year and we are going to continue at it as well. Thank you for listening. Get in touch with us. Tell us how you're going. Get in touch with Macca as well. Tell him about the big switch. Pump up his tires. We want things to be happening.
Well, tell me what you really think.
That's exactly right. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to tell your mates. Don't forget to leave a review. And we will be chatting to you shortly here on the Paddlers Pod.
Good. It's good to be back. Until next time, take care and enjoy.
There it is.